What's up, guys? This is a great episode, especially if you're a sneakerhead or into shoes at all. If you got an old pair that's kind of beat up, definitely check this out. I sit down with Kabuto Kicks. Super episode. We get a little high, talk a little shoes, awesome stuff in there. Make sure you like, follow, subscribe. The Dengus Podcast. I'm going to tag Kabuto Kicks in this. Let me know what you think. Tell your friends about it. And check out the Dube Tubes. I was like, that'd be suspicious.
I go, I win $50 a day after following me on the podcast.
And then I'm on the podcast a week later.
He's like, nah, you set this the fuck up. We ain't doing no more of it.
Nah, I definitely wanted to make sure it was legit. It was actually, the way I was doing, I don't know if you saw the way I was doing it before then. I was like, no, you just started following me. The way I was doing it before was, for the first 100 followers, I was like, yo, I'm gonna give $10 giveaway to cash giveaway to whoever DMs me right now and gives me their cash out. And I respond within like 30 seconds. I'm like, you know what, that's cool shit. And I got a bunch of like other people responding out, and then they started sending some followers. And I was like, okay, let me keep doing this. I was like, so I did it for the 20, 30. Like all the way up to 500. I had to switch it up. I was like,
really, I have it broken down. If I start with the Dube Tubes, if I sell, it's like 70% of my Dube Tubes, I'll have enough to place a t-shirt order. If I sell 70% of them, I'll have enough to place the sweatshirt order, and then the sweatpants, and then the fucking bongs, and then other shit like that.
Stickers, too. Bro.
Yeah. Some stickers. It'll start upgrading. I have some stickers, but right now I'm just...
These stickers on the tube.
Yeah, slapped them.
They look good. Stuff.
You know what I mean? But, it's just, I'm planning to spend the original investment for this to pay for everything going on. And the clothes I'm planning on getting are supposed to be nice. Like, it's like hemp shirts. It's like, real nice thick sweatshirts. And then it's like joggers. Yeah. Joggers for the sweatpants and stuff. With like, it's got like the pineapple and the name on the side. And they're all gray sweatpants. So I'm like, girls will buy them for their dudes and shit. You know what I mean?
Because
fucking girls are hurt sometimes, you know what I mean? This happens. Anyway, so we have today, for the first time, a new guest on the Dengus Podcast. Actually, friends of a previous guest from My Generation Wears. But we have Yim and Chris. Now, Yim has a business. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about that. Shout it out. Your Instagram pages to follow, stuff like that.
Business is Kabuto Kicks. It really stemmed from being a collector for like over 20 years. I've been deep in the sneaker game for a long time. Done a couple, resold some shoes just to make room for new pairs coming in. And then... Just overwhelmingly just beginning requests over the years, for other people to find pairs for them, and it kind of blossomed into this, this brand. And so really, the name itself, Kabuto itself was a samurai helmet.
Okay.
And I was like, so I know you probably saw the logo. It was like a samurai helmet with laces and everything. So the back in the day, I was like, you know, with the samurai, I was like, the samurai helmets itself were all designed, you know, I was like, color wise, I was like, the shapes, I was like, everything about them were to match the personality of the samurai that going on.
Okay.
So it's similar to how what people do with shoes. You want to get shoes that match your personality itself.
Gotcha.
And also, so with the. Yeah, I was like, with the whole concept behind it, I was like, it's kind of bringing back the spirit of the sneaker game. Like when I first started, when I was younger, it wasn't about, I was like, having the most drip, and I was like, you flexing on somebody else and all the others. It was all about just you, being individual, and I was like, being unique and showing love to other people. I was like, not just shitting on them for not having the flash pair. Like,
yeah.
I was like, you not having the latest Jordan, I'm not gonna get on you for that. But I was like, at the same time, I was like, it should be about showing love. I was like, for what you do have and what you can. That's kind of my message and my mission and what I'm trying to spread. And that's what kind of my whole brand is about. And that's why I have the samurai helmet as the symbol itself.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I really like the idea behind the name and how you came up with it. And I think, you know, they always say, like, at least, especially in business, you know what I mean, you can kind of tell someone's level, you know, looking at their suit and their shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What they're wearing. So it does go a lot into how you present yourself and your personality, you know what I mean? Because everyone's style is a little different.
Yeah.
And so I think that's awesome. I think it's really cool how you did that, especially, and we'll go more into exactly what you do as a business and how that works. But when you tie that in, too, I think that's really awesome as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chris, you want to introduce yourself? Shout out any Instagram, social media, anything like that?
Yeah, I don't really have any social medias or anything to promote per se. I'm here because the Dank of Podcasting is a great place to hang out and just kind of explore the horizons a little bit. I'm just stoked to be here.
Awesome. And we always love to have new people on the show, whether you're building a business, you know what I mean, and you're self-owned and self-promoted, or you just, you know, like smoking weed and hanging out. That's always fun too. So all are welcome to smoke weed here. So let's go more into your business, man, because I'm super curious. I love your page. I actually heard about your page through a friend. We were talking about it a little bit when we started the episode. The giveaway you were having, almost won it, which would have been pretty cool. But
there'll be some more down the line. There'll be more opportunities.
Yeah. So I heard about your page through a friend, and I clicked on your page, and I was really intrigued. And at first glance, it was basically, you see before and after pictures of shoes, and you see the before where they're trash. Some of these look like they, you know what I mean? Goodwill wouldn't take some of them.
100%
not. You know what I mean? These shoes look basically like what you would toss in the trash. And then the after is a refurbished, brand new looking, basically almost right out of the box. Mm-hmm. If not brand new, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really awesome what you do, and then you're able to refurbish them, put them back together, and sell them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I guess at a discount compared to what they would be
brand new. 100%.
So saving money and being able to, kind of like you said, show your personality in your shoes.
Yeah.
While
on top of that, I was like, we also talked about it in the beginning of this the podcast. I was like, we have, people are spending hundreds of dollars on shoes and whatnot. Do you really want to just trash them after, like, they get beat up a little bit? If the foundation is there and, like, there's no, like, serious wear and tear, it's just really, like, deep grime and dirt and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Just put a little TLC into it, and get that elbow grease and back to new.
Exactly. And someone will do it, because, you know what I mean? Someone's going to go online and do it anyway.
Yeah.
You mean, whether they get it from you or someone's going to be out there trying to get these shoes together. So if you know the guy, if you got the plug, you know what I mean, bring your shoes to him. So it's tell me a little bit more about how you started this, how you came up with this idea. What got you into, you know, what did you just need a clean pair of your shoes one day? Was it you know what I mean, how'd you get into that?
So I've been a collector for over 20 years itself, and seen a lot of different cleaning products, a lot of different cleaning processes, and it's been a lot of trial and error. And this, honestly, they started as I wanted it to be just a sneaker cleaning business and like a sneaker laundry kind of as a business, if you will. And then,
because there's an art to that,
there really is. It is. There's like so many different things. I'm learning different things with different materials. Different techniques. Between actually cleaning them, drying, making sure you're drying them, like it with the different materials too. You can't saturate the leather too much or else it'll really completely warp it. So
yeah,
really learning to work with those. So it's been a lot of trial and error between my own personal pairs and just some homies pairs and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's been that portion of the business been over like 5 years in the making. But I've also on the side was selling shoes too. For like if I bought the same one to cop, one to rock. I would rock one and then just stash the other one to flip the other one to pay for the other pair just to feed my habit.
Exactly. You know? And then you get some new shoes, you know what I mean? Every time you get a replacement.
It gets to a point where you look back, you're like, damn, I have all these fucking shoes. Do I really wear these all the time? So now I'm starting to kind of make room for other pairs, but the especially with COVID right now, we're stressing out about the COVID being attached to the shoes too and oneself. Yeah. So I really took it to another step further, like with some of the pairs. I was like the Ultra Boost, the Yeezys and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They're safe to be in the wash too. So I'll hand scrub, them, take the insoles out, mm-hmm. get all up in there, scrub the outside, and I was like clean the leaves, throw it in the washing machine, and then I have the sanitizing spray as well that goes through each one. So even with the brand new pairs that I sell. No, okay. They're all sanitized. That was before. That was like going to another customer. But my overall, like that, those are the two main things I have going on with the business. I also make sneaker box art. And I was like, so I would take old sneaker boxes and okay. I was like, and actually make it into a picture. And I was like, framed and whatnot, just to kind of commemorate and I was like, and like celebrate some of the pairs that you have in your collection. So I've done that for a couple of people. I did it for myself once, and then I was like, a bunch of people, I posted it, a bunch of people responded and wanted them myself. So I was like, I did that. But then also the big thing I have going on now is the concierge service. So the concierge service, Frank, you talked the other day. They said you wanted you wanted a pair of J's.
Yep.
Or you have a bigger size foot than most. Above average. So with that said, you're kind of limited on what pairs that you can really get in the store, but even
everywhere, online. Yeah, they're more expensive. Most of the time they're out of stock. It's always costing more. If you got anything over a 14,
discrimination.
There's no half discrimination. Size, dude. No, it's a mess trying to get something, man.
It really is, and the fact of the matter is, with those bigger sizes and the really small sizes, people they make a little more limited supply. So with the supply and demand, mm-hmm. the people who do have them for sale, they're gonna be kind of dickheads with it. You know, and they're gonna take advantage and raise the price a little bit more than usual. And so, like, when it comes to me actually reselling the shoes, I try to keep in mind the perspective of a buyer. I was like, mm-hmm. of the sneakerhead itself, and I was like, and try to stay fair with the prices, even the bigger size, the ones that I could make, maybe I could stand to make another $100-$200 more on, but I won't do that. I was like, just to try to build relationships, because that's what this it's all about. Customer service is something that's been lacking in this industry for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's something that I pride myself on, and I'm trying to bring back into the game. You know, that's what's gonna make me different compared to the competition.
That's awesome. So you really, I've seen shoes that go for $1,000 or something. You know what I mean? Sometimes, and the fact that you're able to, one, be able to still profit off it, still make a business and run a business off it, but able to. Especially while you're growing, build those relationships you know what I mean? And, make those prices that are going to stand out compared to maybe someone else that's doing that. Would you say that's probably the biggest thing that separates you from someone else that refurbishes shoes? Or what do you think is the biggest thing that sets you apart?
I would say yes. I'm 100% an authentic, genuine guy in my personal life. A lot of my brand itself, the values that I have in my brand, they really translate from my personal life and what my personal brand is. And I want to be known as an authentic guy. Somebody that can build that relationship with. You can really kind of talk through a whole process of trying to find a pair that really means something to you. Because I know the feeling of having that pair, those they really that you've been wanting for a long time, and you got it for a price that you wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was like, yeah, that was really the hardest part for me. I was like, when I first started this too, was trying to, keep the prices fair without like gouging people, because just because I can, because I want to ultimately build those relationships with people. And
and beyond that, I think even there's a barrier to entry. Like, if you're not a sneakerhead, you're not from that culture.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, beyond the price barrier, there's also, like, I don't know what to call it beyond, besides a snob barrier. Mm. If you don't know what the different shoes are, you and I, I'm not a sneakerhead. I didn't come from sneakerhead culture. I appreciate it. I love a good pair of sneakers, which is why, you might actually hook me up. But I didn't know how to go about procuring that without getting ripped off. I don't know the difference, and I was afraid to reach out to someone because, a lot of these guys, check them on YouTube or stuff like that. They have stores. And, these guys are knee-deep in the culture. That's what they live 24-7. Mm-hmm. It almost seems disrespectful when you don't know about their culture or know about all those things. So that's one of the reasons why when he mentioned that he was doing something like this, I felt like it was a good idea, because there was no... He was like, I understand you don't know about this. What do you like? Let's take a look at what these different things are. Mm-hmm. Let me explain them to you. I can tell you why 14s and 15s are going to be more expensive, why they're harder to get, why you've had such a difficult time finding what you're looking for. Here's a couple tips. I can help you work that out.
Well, and another thing, actually, I think you brought up a point that made me think of this, is it kind of helps introduce people that want those nice shoes, but that's not the top list of their priority. And you're exactly right. Don't know where to start. You know what I mean? Because we were kind of talking about it before the episode. If I wanted... a pair of fucking Jordan 1s, it's going to be $450, $550. I'm like, man, I could eat for a month for that same price. And that's just not, I'm like you said, I'm not a sneakerhead. And that's just, I'm like, dude, I could eat for 30, 45 days, like food on the table, eating good.
Yeah.
Or get a pair of shoes that I got to be careful every time I wear them. I can't do any of the stuff I normally do.
You can have a nice weekend out somewhere.
Exactly.
A nice full weekend.
Exactly. But I'm like, to me, it's just, that might not be worth it. But that's why your page is perfect for someone like that. You know what I mean? You're able to get those really, really nice shoes. But like you said, it's not cheap, but it's at a bargain. You know what I mean? You're getting definitely more than your money's worth on your page compared to some others. And I think that's a big thing, because the people that want those nice shoes are going to be able to go get them for a little cheaper than brand new. You know what I mean? A little less expensive, and still be able to wear those nice shoes, show off their personality, like you said. And still eat for the next 30 days as well. What I'm saying? Like that. So I think that's awesome. That's really cool what you're doing. It's gonna broaden your web, your network, your market to not just sneakerheads.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're gonna have more of a bigger audience, people that are, especially as you're growing, that are in your corner, because they see how you're helping people out and making a bigger difference in some of these bigger companies that charge a lot more money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I'm not the only sneakerhead that became a reseller.
On
this, but there's a million of people that are doing this right now. But I do have the benefit of knowing the history behind and the story behind a lot of these shoes, especially the Jordans and whatnot. He hears me ramble all the time about, oh, this is why these are special. This was the All Star game, and kind of really go in behind and tell you it's all wearable art. That's really, it's not just sneakers. I was like, in this world, it's not just sneakers. It's wearable art. Like, people pay hundreds, thousands of dollars for art to just be sitting on the wall.
When I came over your house, so before we came over here, I came over his house, and there was this bright, huge, bright green book, almost like lime green like that.
Yeah.
And it was a Virgil Abloh book. And it was a sealed, unopened book. I was like, what's that about? And he was kind of telling me, it was like about, his history and his design and his inspiration and all this kind of stuff, like the inner workings, that kind of stuff. That I was like, that actually sounds fascinating. I'm not a sneakerhead, but sounds very interesting.
Yeah, because I was listening to one other sneaker reseller that's actually in the area. I was like, and he was recording a video, and he was pulling out shoes. He's like, yeah, we got these, we got this. And I was like, he actually couldn't differentiate which shoe it was.
Like, it was
really?
The Jordan number. And I'm like, bro, that's a, yeah. But, so, like, that's what I'm saying. From a credibility standpoint, like,
yeah.
People know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about because I've been doing this for so long. I was from a personal level. So, I was a...
Too many.
I was like,
it looks like art though. Like he has this big setup where it's just rows of shoes and they're all pristine, and it's in this big kind of grid. So you kind of pull them out there and they're in little cubbies, if you will, like translucent. But they're all different colors.
That's awesome.
All different styles. And I mean, it looks like wall art in a second.
No, that's awesome. That's really really cool. What would you say? I mean, I guess how long have you been into sneakers, into shoes, into just collecting? Not even necessarily restoring them and making them look good, but just
it was definitely middle school.
Middle school.
I was like around sometime between either sixth or seventh grade. I remember, back then I was like, mother will only get you one pair of shoes for the whole school year. Fucked them up halfway through. Tough luck. That's what you got to wear for. And you weren't cleaning them, dude. Nobody was cleaning their shoes.
Not
like
middle
that.
School, yeah. Fuck, no one had the money to go buy.
So you're just wearing some beat ass shoes. So I remember like one year, I think it was either sixth or seventh grade. I was like, I had some shell tops. I was like, those were like my go to back then. I was like, just like some Adidas shell top. Those were like basic black and white, and yeah, they were beat by like November and one night, and I was getting fried at school, and I remember I bought a pair of I ended up cutting some grass all around the neighborhood for like 3 days straight, and I was like, bought me a pair of Kobe's and whatnot, and that feeling walking down that the hallway and the confidence I had with that shit, I was like, it became like a little high, and I was like, if you will, and I was like, and I just started chasing that for a long time, and then it got to a point where I don't really care if other people like it or not. I was like, I should start appreciating the shoes for myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it was, go ahead.
But I was like, you remember I went, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I was with the shoe that Will was rocking. I was like, when he first came to the house.
I think so.
It was the Jordan 5. I was like, grapes. They were like white, purple, and little turquoise. He took the laces out, fucked everybody up. I was like, he took the laces out and just wore it as is because it had an elastic band to hold your foot in still. That was the shoe that really put me into the sneaker game.
Okay, so it was the Jordan 5s?
Those Jordan 5 grapes,
On the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Now, I will let you know this that now. I did know a pair of shoes you were talking about, and that's the difference between a sneakerhead and someone who's not. And that's why you gotta go follow Kabuto Kicks right there, because he'll be able to explain that to you, that this is the one. So that's awesome. That's actually really cool. I was gonna say, what was the pair that got you into it? But I guess you just answered that.
That was Mike Warren on the box of the Wheaties. It was a Wheaties box. That's what it was. He never actually wore it in the game, but he wore it on the Wheaties commercial.
Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite brand now?
It's tough.
Jordans.
Is Nike is probably definitely my favorite brand, but I like a lot of Adidas. I love Yeezy brand. I was like, but then also I love what Pharrell's been doing too.
Mm-hmm.
The way he has his shoes now, like he has this little cage on the back right here, and it created this whole new lacing system. Kind of looks almost like ninja shoes and whatnot.
Okay.
They're kind of dope. I was like, so I'm a big fan of both Nike and Adidas, but I've also like grew up, I was like, if I went New Balance, A6, so kind of and some Pumas.
I got you.
But definitely probably Nike Jordan. Yeah.
Okay. And then Chris, what about you? What's your what was the pair of shoes that I guess got you like into shoes, or I guess what was the pair of shoes that the first pair of shoes that you got that you knew you really liked, that you were just trying to keep clean as long as possible, when it was like, you know what I mean, gave you that confidence boost walking down the hallway or whatever it was?
This is going to sound weird. This is way back, but I remember getting a pair of G-Unit G6s forever ago. That was forever ago. And then I followed that up with my first real pair of shoes, which were Air Force Ones. And we were talking about that earlier. Every year I get a pair of fresh white Air Force One Lows. And that was the first pair of shoes that I had that I got upset that I got marred. because I had just gotten them, and then I did something stupid and like ruined the side of them, and I got upset. And I remember that was the first time I actually cleaned a pair of shoes, because I had just gotten them.
What'd you do, hit the toothbrush on it?
I don't remember what I did. I think it was, I went with like a dishcloth or something like that, like good old soap and water or something like that.
Shit, yeah. That was a,
mediocre results, but I remember that was the first time I tried cleaning a shoe.
I remember we were trying like toothpaste, I was like back in the day too, shit too.
But honestly, these were the first like big dollar sneakers that I ever purchased, because I didn't, like, I kind of was interested in it. And he's a sneakerhead, so when we hang out, that's kind of one of the topics that comes up sometimes.
Yeah, we're
often hanging around other sneakerheads. So I got exposed to kind of that culture a little bit. So I just asked questions and just found out. And I was interested in the comfort beyond, actually, the, was the thing that attracted me to these. I got a big-ass foot, I'm a big dude.
Yeah.
So I want to check them out, but it's, you can't go try them on. It's... And if you even know somebody who has them, they probably only have a pair.
Yeah.
But he happened to have like three or four different pairs, like right there in his apartment.
Nice.
So, you know, he was like, hey, let me show you a couple different ones. Here's the first generations. Here's the second generations. Here's the difference between them. I was like, okay, you know, I normally wear a 14. He was like, you want to go with a 15?
Yeah.
These are a little bit smaller. Glad I took that advice, because I'm right there.
Yeah. And the fact that you know how they're cut, too, so it's not going to go spend their money and be disappointed in, shit, this is a little bigger, this is a little small. Because I'm sure, you know what I mean, one thing you don't want to do is get a reputation of selling someone shoes that don't fit right, or maybe they weren't put together right, and they're still stretched out, or something's still wrong with them. So that's definitely a big thing, the fact that you're going to be able to size someone up just on your knowledge of the shoes as well.
Because at the end of the day, I want you to wear them if I sell them to you. Because I was like, you'd be my marketing. I was like, where do I get these shoes? Caboodle Kicks.
Exactly.
Like, so, like, if you can't rock them, then I'm losing out on that. Because, you know, word of mouth business, especially out there, you're coming up. That's gold right there.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I'd say you're going to laugh at my first pair that I was like, taking a lot of pride in. So, do you guys remember?
I pulled out G Unit G6s, man.
I know, for real. I was like, holy shit.
Do you guys remember the Day Day Supremes that you could customize with your name and like sports number on it?
They said, which ones?
They were like Day Day Supremes.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all like low cut, but I remember I played basketball when I was younger. So, I was actually this height in 8th grade. I stopped growing in 8th grade. So, I was taller than fucking everybody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, playing basketball in elementary school and middle school, I was the biggest dude on the court. So, I had to, you know what I mean? I had to get my shoes right. So, I had Buccini on the back and my number on the side.
Oh, that's harsh.
Every year, I got, like, whatever team color we had and my name on it.
Oh, shit.
And I thought they were so fresh. I'd wear them around school, man. I'd keep them away from people. I'd go in the bathroom and clean them off at lunch and stuff. Like, oh, man, I got them scuffed. Got to get this dust off. And I would clean them, and then it would always be one day after school, I'd be walking home or something, and I'd step in the mud. I'd be like, fuck. And then I'm just like, all right, they're trash. They're done. I guess I'll wait till my next pair. And then usually I usually stumble into shoes more than I buy them now. Like, I think I went like 4 or 5 straight years without buying a new pair of shoes. People would be like, hey, I got these, they're 15s, you're the only person I know, here you go, or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm like, cool, so I got some new shoes. And I think the last pair I bought that I spent some money on, it was a pair of red and white Air Force Ones. It was like 180, 200.
Dude, it's crazy. Yeah, like how these kids these days are actually fucking with the Air Force Ones like that now.
Yeah, they're coming back.
They're back. I couldn't believe they're sold out in stores.
Yeah,
like, you couldn't even just get a basic white pair in stores. I was like, what?
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, I said I liked them, and some girl made fun of me. I was like, damn, I guess I don't like them anymore. Fine. No, and then I'm like, fucking people are wearing them now. I thought. Man, I don't fucking know shoes at all, but they're cool now.
Trends, man. It's always that thing. It goes in waves. I was like, everybody's hopping on the Jordan 1 train right now. Like, all these TikTokers. That's what it really is. These TikTokers are all rocking the Air Forces now. Like, just the cocaine whites. I was like, shit, the Uptowns. I was like, and, all the kids losing their mind over them. I was like, you see them in, like, every post and every picture. I was like, there's somebody got them.
So you brought up a couple other points, and you brought up like the art of cleaning. How long, you know, because this is a big thing, and I feel like there's probably 1,000 ways to try and clean shoes. How long did it really take you to kind of perfect that, to kind of practice and get it down to where, like you said, it sets you apart, it makes a big difference?
It's been like 5 years of doing it, of trial and error. But then I'm still learning. To this day, I got pretty much all the deep cleaning and all the getting the lint out of the sock liner and then getting some of the details and really cleaning up the soles. But next thing I'm trying to do is really learn how to ice the soles properly. But you got to build a box, get a UV light, and it's like a multi. It's a couple day process of doing it straight. So I'm still learning, but it's been about 5 years. To come to this.
That's awesome. I think that's cool. And I think it's cool that you said that you're still learning. You know what I mean? And that's something that someone building a business, whether it's a year old, whether it's somebody been practicing for 5 years, the fact that you're still trying to learn and build and get better at it, I think you're going to do really, really well with that. That's awesome. That's definitely really exciting. I'm definitely excited for you to see, how much more that grows. You just hit 500 followers, and that's going to get a lot bigger.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was 500 in 1 month. It was literally a day less, a day short of a 1 month mark, and I was hit the 500 followers. So that was definitely overwhelming to see how much support I got really quick. But I think people are seeing the genuineness. The business itself, the way I do business. I try to be fair with the negotiations, and I just want to show love too back. Somebody's not doing business, I'll definitely always follow them, support what they're putting up. I occasionally put them on my story as well, because that's what it's all about. Because my network right now is not only with the customers, but I'm really trying to build my network with among other resellers as well. So that we don't necessarily have to step on each other's toes, we might be able to help each other out.
Absolutely, man. And that's what, not to be corny and promote myself here, but that's what my podcast is all about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's being able to build and that free type of promotion, that kind of building
the collaboration.
Working with the team, Everyone, no one does it alone, but no one really has someone doing it for them. But it's being 100%. Able to build a team and have people work together and be able to build that. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, we're definitely on the same page there.
I'm curious 100%. About how big the middle section, the overlap is between potheads and sneakerheads.
I mean,
I feel like there's a kind of an even overlap, but it's about a 50-50 mix.
Okay.
I've met a lot of potheads who are also sneakerheads.
Yeah.
I've met some sneakerheads who are also potheads, but they're not mutually exclusive.
I would say if you look at the majority of the sneaker population now, it's a lot of young kids. When I went to one event a few months ago, I was shocked. It was lit. There was a bunch of fucking people there.
Yeah.
But they were all fucking teenagers, bro. They were really fucking real. They had a whole big ass table setups. I'm selling out my trunk. I was in the trunk of my car. I'm feeling stupid as hell because these guys got the professional tables with the tents and all this shit with the professional signage and all that. But they're also walking up and buying too.
Yeah.
And they're walking around with racks and cash. Ready to fucking spend money on shoes.
Those are the people that are watching the athletes the closest. You know what I mean? Yeah. They have more time to watch sports and follow their favorite athletes or, musicians or artists or whoever it is. They follow them a lot closer. They want to get their shoes. They don't have anything else to spend money on. They don't got bills. So. And they're the future. In 10 years, they're going to be the people that are buying these shoes. They're not going to be at the events. They're going to be, going to Kabuto Kicks to get their stuff.
Yeah.
So, once they get some real knowledge about it, they're just starting out. What would you say is the biggest mistake people make trying to clean their own stuff? Like, when you're at your house, we talked about earlier, the toothpaste and a toothbrush or something like that. What's the biggest thing you see that actually does? Is there something that does more damage than good? And you're like, shit, I wish you didn't try and do this before you brought them to me.
Well, seeing how the Jordan 1s and Air Forces are so popular now with the type of leather, especially with the Jordan 1s, they can be real buttery. So if you oversaturate it,
you know what happens when you get leather wet. It's going to start to get real warped and wrinkled.
Yeah, it reforms it.
Yeah, it reforms it pretty much completely. Using the right equipment and I was in the right, knowing I was in, how much pressure to do, what type of brushes to use and whatnot. Because you want to know, like, with suede, you want to use, like, the soft brush. You might want to just dry clean it.
Exactly. So it's like anything. Just having the right tools, having the right equipment is going to get the job done.
YouTube University, bro. I swear to God, man. YouTube University, bro. It'll pretty much teach you any step along the way. I was like, eventually I'm going to put out some YouTube videos myself. I was like, for now, like, man, I'll tell you, YouTube has also been a big, big help. I was like, with learning how to do stuff.
Well, I say that all the time. Yeah. If you learn anything you want to fucking learn from YouTube, just practice. The only difference is, if for some things, you're not going to have a piece of paper that say you went to college. For other things, you have your own degree. You make up a degree in whatever you want, and you go learn it, and you can be an expert in it. You just got to practice it 5-10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just gotta keep working at it. So, I mean, but yeah, having the right tools is a huge, huge deal when it comes to something like this. Mm-hmm. So, don't try and mess them up on your own. Yeah. Bring them to someone that actually does it, know what they're doing, has the knowledge to do it.
It's only $20.
Yeah. It's what is it?
Only $20.
$20.
Yeah, for a deep clean.
For a deep clean?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's awesome. So, what all does that cover? Does that cover everything, like a complete?
Yeah, I was like, so you saw some of the before and after pictures. There was one guy, a pair at Kobe's that I got. Guy cut grass with them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, grass on all the inside, on the sole, on inside. I was like, it was grass stains all over it. And I was like, did a full, like, deep clean on that. I was like, and got all the grass out. And I was like, got it pretty much back to sanitized and back to new, threw it in the wash. And then I also used the sanitizing spray and whatnot as well.
Wow.
It just kind of brought the shape back too.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, so that's awesome. Really cool. So $20, man, go to his page and see the work he does and hit him, man. Hit this dude up. $20. I'm blown away by the price. I wasn't even going to ask the price because I was expecting, like, you know what I mean? Three digits in that price. We got a special. It's $99.99 if you hit me up with $20 this episode.
Yeah, $20 a pair.
That's crazy. That's $10 a shoe. That's $10 a shoe lace. That's $2 a day. That's your lunch money. Tell your kids to go, you know what I mean? I'm going to make you a big dinner. You save your kids lunch money, you hit them up just for 1 week, and you got enough to get your shoes redone. That's awesome. I'm blown away by that price.
Yeah.
You built the value in that. We spent 25 minutes talking about this.
Yeah.
I ain't asked the price one time. That is crazy. Man, he's salesman of the year right here. What'd you say?
I was like, trying to show love, bro. I was like, let's show some. I was like, you got to just put a little TLC on those shoes, man.
That's awesome. And that's another big thing, man, for people that don't know about it. You know what I mean? People that maybe don't take care of their shoes, like a sneakerhead like myself, who has that pair sitting in their closet that they just don't wear out as much. It's only $20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Problem solved. You can get them looking brand new again. So that is awesome. That's huge. We're going to be talking a lot more after this episode.
I look forward to it, bro.
So what, and I guess, what is, this is a big thing I like to ask everyone. What's your most, and I obviously this is for everybody. You know what I mean? This is for someone who's a sneakerhead, like I just mentioned. Not a sneakerhead. I'm gonna be in your DMs all the time. I'm gonna be sending you shit. but what is your most typical customer? What I guess age range? What I guess not necessarily demographic, but what type of what sizes do you typically have in that are most in stock? Okay. So like if it's like, hey, I want something new for this weekend, I can go there. I don't have it. Most likely, we'll have it like today or you know what I mean, within a few days.
Between 10 and 11. I was like, there were a lot of pairs that I hit on. I was like, online raffles or whatnot. I was like, they were all around my size. My size 10, I have 11, so I have a lot more in those sizes. But I do have occasionally have like the smaller sizes and like between like 6 to 8
mm-hmm.
and like 12, 13.
Okay. All right, so usually 10 and 11, but you have stuff smaller, you have stuff bigger. You can hit them up for requests, and he'll, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he'll go find something for you.
Yeah.
Just let him know you're serious, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, this has been really exciting to hear about so far. One thing I like doing on every episode is if you follow us every week, and I'm going to make a weekly post about this, is something called a Frankism. Basically, mm-hmm. just, man, if you live life this way, everything's going to improve. I'm just kidding. But just things that I say, things like, I guess, Frank morals, whatever you want to call them, but just things that I feel strongly for, and it's whatever it is. But every week I got a big list of these things. I like to let my guests pick one that they either, it just, you know what I mean, it stands out to them, or whatever it is, they feel like they could talk about it. But this week's Frankism is, and it's so fucking simple. It's so simple. It's two simple words, but it means so much. And it's going to cover a lot of categories. But don't lie. It's don't bluff. Don't, it's phony, it's fake, don't, you know what I mean, don't waste people's time, don't do any of that shit, just, it's 2021, cut the shit out, man.
Yeah.
You're either building or you're just falling off, and if you're falling off, don't slow someone up that's building by doing that shit, you know what I mean? So I'll let you comment on it, Chris, I'll let you comment on it, and then, you know, I'll say a couple things on it. So what do you think about that? Just don't be lied, don't be phony, fake, bluffing, all that bullshit.
Preach. No, yeah, absolutely. I just need to be real. I was like, for real. I was like, just be real, straightforward. And honest. I was like, whether you're trying to get over on somebody, I was in with a fake pair of shoes, or you're hiding certain details about, like, defects about the shoe. I was like, just be straightforward, be real. I was like, you know, we've all had, our encounter with fake shoes. We got burnt on. And I was like, it's just, it's not even the money loss. It's more than just the principle of the matter. And I was saying, we really have to, like, watch out for all these different type of scams that people are trying to pull all the time.
Uh-huh.
I was saying, from, like, all platforms too. You'll see it, like, all these different, like, kind of spam shit. So, like, yeah, that shit's dead. That shit's wacky as shit. And I was like, it's time to just, like, just cut that shit out this year.
Yep.
And just be fucking real.
Exactly. Chris, you got any thoughts, anything to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it resonates, because I think it's being genuine, you know, not being phony, is the foundation of pretty much every good friendship or relationship that I've ever had. So, I mean, it makes sense to, you know, keep that kind of mantra, keep that kind of energy around you.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with that kind of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you brought up with shoes and business in general and friendships, relationships, whatever it is. Because it's kind of like we talked about that value thing. You know what I mean? You spend your money where you value it. You spend your time where you value it. You spend even on things like your conversations, the energy you put into people, that's where you value it. And when you start fucking up and lying or doing things or being deceitful, whatever it is, whether it's, like I said, in business or whether it's someone you're dating or a friendship, you know what I mean? Even if it's a coworker, if you're upfront and direct, it might not be what people want to hear. But you know what I mean? It's gonna if there's a problem created, it's gonna get solved a lot quicker. It's not gonna delay, it's not gonna waste people's time, energy, money, all that stuff. So whatever it is, man, don't lie, don't be phony. You know, it kinda goes along with what we said on the last episode. Just be direct as fuck. You know what I mean? All that stuff goes together. So it's you know what I mean, just be genuine up front. If you fuck up, say you fuck up. If it's you know what I mean, if there's something wrong with it, people appreciate honesty. And And like you said, building, it helps you build those relationships, build that type of stuff when you're able to, you know, and people get what they're expecting.
Mm. Being genuine, all the time. Even if you do fuck up, I feel like if you're genuine, even if you do fuck up, because you achieve,
at least correct it.
How you handle that situation, how you take ownership of that,
of course.
How you move forward. It can be an actual opportunity, even if something does fuck up, to still progress and
move. Because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And they'll say, like I said, just in the sneaker world itself, the amount of fakes that are out here now are crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's a big one. I think that's really huge.
That's a good Frankism.
That was one.
Yeah. Usually by that time, by the Frankism time, I'm usually pretty high, which is why I paused for a second.
Yeah.
I wasn't really thinking about much. I just kept trying to think about anything at that point. Another thing I like to end the episodes with is I like to let my guests, and I always surprise them at the end with this because I think it's more fun that way, but you're going to pick the song that we end the episode on. Any song, it could be what you're feeling, it could be just the vibe of the podcast, it could be whatever you want. You're going to pick the song that the episode ends on. So Go ahead, Yim. What is the song that we're going to end on today?
Meek intro.
Meek intro?
Yeah.
All right. So here it is. We're going to play that. I do want to give you one last chance. Shout out your Instagram. Shout out any other forms of social media. Anything else that you have. Let them know about it. Let them know that price one more time. Say it for the people in the back.
That was his IG's Kabuto Kicks. KABUTO. Kicks. And that was it. You can DM me, I was like, on there. I was like, the prices, I was like, $20. I was like, for a basic deep clean. I was like, always gonna keep fair prices on the kicks. I was like, so DM me if you guys need anything with your sneaker needs.
Awesome. Again, Chris, thanks for stopping by, man. I know you don't got a whole lot to do.
Shout out to Kudo Kicks and shout out to the Dankers podcast and the Instagram. Absolutely. Thank you very much. It was awesome. Appreciate you having this on. Absolutely.
Guys, make sure you like, follow, subscribe, and then tag in the comment section. Last day of the giveaway, but there's going to be more posted soon. I put on my yellow diamonds when I'm pissed off. I'm so rich that I can't even fuck a bitch raw. Whoa. Do you know the feeling? Being agitated cause you gotta count a million. All this fucking money, I ain't got no time for chilling. We took Ritalin like this, do all that killing and drug dealing. You my nigga, I fuck with you, we gon' thug it out. Say it's beef, we going to war, nigga, let's slug it out. Be back with we at your door, blood in your fucking house. I heard your daddy was a rat, so you a fucking mouse, nigga. Pouring champagne, cause all my niggas dead. They ain't in the graveyard, then they in the feds. I give a fuck if that crown heavy, put it on my head. Take it to the jeweler, bust it down before I wear it. Woo. Cause I'm a king, just like Martin Luther. I ain't a hater, fuck my bitch, nigga, I salute you. I be flying jet and chopper like that shit was Uber. We finally made it out them trenches, nigga, hallelujah. Whoa. Ballin' like a hot boy. Diamond dancing on me more than JB Block, boy. I'm a boss, I don't wanna call the shots, boy. You a thotty, I won't cuff you like a cop, whore. No way. I just cashed out. How the fuck you turn a bando to a glass house? How the fuck you get a 2-4 bailout? Got your favorite Instagram bitch with her ass out. Hey, make her touch her toes, make her touch her toes. Run up like a million off a couple shows. Trapping at the wall, dog, we just fucking hoes. In the love of that Chanel, they gon' sell they souls. Rolling through the gutter, I ain't never bold. You would think this Wheel of Fortune, how we selling hoes. Plug just caught, he got another load. He know I'ma get him sold. Young niggas still fucking all up, better bitches on earth. With them off in them trenches, I'm a hot boy like turf. Gunshot is stinking in that Glock, boy, that's work. You get pop pussy, no twerk. Nigga, we tryna make that money machine break. Shooter got my dice playing like his teammate. Nigga, we used to trap it by the Green Gate. 80, baby, that could crack up in my DNA. Scary hours. Walk outside and live, they gon' let confetti shower. You know what it was when you heard they let me out of here. Living like the plug, nigga, I ain't selling powder, no way. Talking Santa Claus. Got three hoes out that Molly ripping panties off. Flying private to Dubai, we up them Zanny bars. Oh, scary, I was turning cameras off, please.